This is On the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. And it is an opportunity each week for us to really focus on that word community, specifically the Ypsilanti community, where we are proud to call home each and every day here at WEMU. I'm Patrick Campion, your host, and Sarah Riga is with me, the project manager from Concentrate Media. By the way, we should mention this is Concentrate Media's project. We are the media partner on it and proud to be doing that. And Sarah goes out into the community each week and finds a story, and these stories are always related to people and things and places and just stuff in our community that are really focused on helping our community. We knew there was a need for more positive journalism in Ypsilanti and Ypsilanti Township, and we're just so excited that Concentrate Media started this project up, because each and every week, Sarah brings in these great people from our community that just love Ipsy and just love making Ipsy a better place for every single person in our community. And I think this week is probably one of the better examples, a longstanding organization in our community that really exists only to serve the community, and they're celebrating an anniversary. So hi, Sarah.
Hello.
What do you got going on for us this week?
I wrote a story about SOS Community Services, who are celebrating their 50th anniversary,
okay.
Headquartered in Ipsy. I realized that in the entire time I've been working on the On the Ground project, that here's this sort of mainstay of the local nonprofit world in Ypsilanti, and we hadn't talked to them yet, so I needed to correct that.
All right, so there's going to be a check in a box after this week, but 50 years, and who's here to talk to us about it today?
We got Rhonda Weathers, the executive director.
Hi, Rhonda. Welcome back to WEMU. I know you've been on before.
I have. Yeah, but it's so good to be here again.
Well,
Thank you so much.
We're happy to have you here, and we're happy to have SOS in our community. But for those who aren't familiar, what is SOS, and what need does it serve today?
Well, today the need that we serve, our mission is really to ensure that people are stably housed, and we help to promote family self-sufficiency.
Okay.
So housing is a big part of what we do, but we also offer a resource center where people can access food resources as well as utility assistance, transportation assistance. If people don't have a computer or a phone available to them, they can come in and use ours to do like housing searches, to do employment searches, whatever they need. We're kind of a hub for resources in the community, and then we also have a children's program. Some students and faculty came together and developed this crisis line to help people after hours. This is before the CMH crisis line was available. And from that, we moved off campus, I think, 3 years after our inception, when a building was donated, a building that we still use on River Street, the Octagon building. And we started providing services out of that building related to after-hours crisis, as well as providing some food services. And after a while, we found that people were sleeping on the porch, and staff would encounter them when they came in the morning. And so we eventually saw the need for some housing services in the community and started writing some grants to HUD, Housing and Urban Development. And from there, it just took off. We really started doing a lot more supportive housing programs at that time, as well as continuing to provide that mainstay of just food resources, utility resources, access to any resource within the community.
So how is SOS funded? Or let's start with, it sounded like it started with a group of core volunteers who were giving up primarily their time, but how is SOS funded today? I mean, where do you get the money to support these things in our community?
We have a combination of some federal money. We have about 55% of our funding, which comes from HUD. We have a pot that comes from state funds as well to support our children's services, and then we do a lot of fundraising.
Okay.
So we do a lot of awareness activities and use that awareness, increase in awareness of our programming to really raise some local funds.
So you have an anniversary event coming up too. We will jump in with that right now, because you said you do many fundraisers. What do you have going on?
On April 18th of this year, we're going to be back here on campus at EMU in McKinney Hall, and we're going to have a 50th anniversary celebration. So we're going to have some of the founding members of SOS actually come back from across the country to help us celebrate and recognize all the good that has been done by this organization. The event's going to run from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Tickets are available to anyone who has ever volunteered, worked, or had been a board member, anybody who's been impacted really by SOS. It could have been that you received services from us, But
you're getting the gang back together.
We're getting the gang back together and having a party. There's going to be dinner and dancing, and it's going to be a good time.
You know, it's interesting, too, that it started here on campus at Eastern, and I didn't know that, so thanks for sharing that with us. It was a very interesting time on campus at Eastern. The late 60s, early 70s were a time where Eastern shifted heavily to looking outside of campus. And it sounds like it was a perfect timing on seeing a need, filling a need within the community. And I'm really happy that this has grown from there. So in the beginning, it sounds like, you know, a cobbled together kind of group of volunteers answering phones. What is SOS today in terms of staffing and volunteers?
Well, we have a staff of 20, but we rely heavily on volunteers still. Volunteerism is one of our core values. We really see the value in that, not only for the agency, but for the volunteer themselves. So,
in what area of the services you offer are you most reliant on volunteers?
Through our food program.
Okay.
You know, we have minimal staffing in our food program, only 20 hours per week, but we rely on volunteers for the rest of the operation of that program, really.
And if I need your services, I think for the food program, we can just walk right in when you're open. But for other services, how do we get the help of SOS into our home or into our lives?
Well, for our shelter program and our rapid rehousing program, our front door is controlled by HAWC, or Housing Access Washtenaw County. So that's the one number in the county, 961-1999, where people call if they're at risk of homelessness or they're experiencing homelessness. HAWC then controls all the resources in the community. So if we have an opening in our shelter, we let HAWC know, and then they fill that opening with somebody that's on our by name list.
Let's talk about the future of SOS. I think that without exception, every organization that comes in here wants to do more. So you've got the fundraising party coming up in support of the 50th anniversary. That's one way to push money towards SOS. But how, as a community, do we help you do more, and what more does SOS want to be doing in our community?
Well, we'd really like to expand some of our housing services into permanent supportive housing. So we're currently building capacity to that end. We're also seeking to expand our children's programming. We understand that there's a need for more after-school programming in this community, as well as early childhood programming. So we're really looking at ways to do that.
Okay, and if there was something that, you know, people don't know, that you think, you encounter people a lot and they say, well, I had no idea that the SOS did this or existed in this place. What is it? I mean, what is it that you're surprised that people don't know more that you do in this community?
I think a lot of people know about our food pantry and about the utility assistance that we can help people with, but many people don't know about the housing programs because we don't have a front door that we control anymore. So people contact HAWC and then they refer to us. So we're not out there promoting our shelter and promoting our rapid rehousing program because somebody else is already controlling the inflow.
How has the winter been in terms of, I'm assuming during the winter you might see an uptick in requests for housing assistance. How has it been this winter?
The requests have been high. We participate in a process locally where we keep track of all the people who are requesting assistance within the community. And for families, it's nearly doubled in the last year in terms of the number of families who are seeking assistance for housing-related needs. So we're certainly seeing an increase in the need.
And if we want to get into your 50th anniversary celebration here on campus at Eastern and McKinney Hall, how do we find out more about that?
Go to our website at www.soscs.org.
Soscs.org. That's pretty easy to remember, all right.
It is.
And I'm sure you've got a menu there of services and offerings and ways to contact you and things like that, too.
We do.
Including people that want to donate or volunteer.
Yes, we're always seeking volunteers, and donations are always accepted.
Rhonda, thank you so much for coming in today to talk about SOS and, you know, Sarah, thank you so much for bringing this in. I think you have something you wanted to add here, but I'm just going to chastise you for not having covered SOS previously. But hopefully more people are, their ears are burning now with the desire to learn more about SOS and get involved.
Right. One thing I don't think the community knows as much about are the services for children and families. And they have a Parents as Teachers program that I think people might also get confused with one that's offered by the WISD, the local intermediate school district. They both have a program, but they're different requirements and different age ranges. And so we talked a bit about that in the article, and I thought that was pretty interesting, the way they help parents The parents drive the programming. They get to decide what their priorities, and then SOS comes in and helps them figure out whatever resources they need to help their kids thrive.
Well, if you want to learn more about what Sarah's talking about, you can find her work at concentratemedia.com. Also, the work of others there as well, focusing on other aspects of our community. You could find all of this, of course, at WEMU.org, and we're happy to link over to them as the media partner. And if you have questions about SOS, you'll find all, if you didn't write down the website or you don't know the phone numbers and things like that, you could find all of that information in Sarah's piece at concentratemedia.com. And it's Concentrate Media on Twitter.
Concentrate A2 on Twitter, because of the character
limit.
Okay.
Concentrate A2 on Twitter.
Everywhere else.
All right. Concentrate A2 on Twitter. Concentrate Media everywhere else. We'll get that straight one of these days. But just find it all at WEMU.org. That's the easiest place to start. We'll link you over there. This is 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.